Srila Prabhupada ki,
ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki, Prem Segaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudi Gauru Bhakta Vrinda ki, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gauru Gopagrina Shyamakunda Radha Kumagiri Govardhana ki, Sri Vrindavan Dhamma ki, Sri Mayapur Dhamma ki, Ganga Mai ki, Jamuna Mai ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Tulasi Devi ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Jai Natai Gauru Premanandi. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gaurang. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So, today, the presentation.
For 2 more, it's okay. We're adjusting for the wind factor. We're not going to go all the way back. Some of the ladies have soft voices. Dear Maharaj, Prabhus, Madhajis, boys, we are making a panel, group presentation, for the 14th and 15th chapter. I would like to posit an umbrella overview for this section. Over and above the Pratignya. So we are claiming that these three chapters talk about the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty, headed by Lord Krishna. And they're all leaving after the mission has been completed. For our presentation, we will concentrate on some of the processes for going back to Godhead. Yesterday, our Bhaktivedanta Academy, Rupanuga Vidyapit players, delightfully depicted the departure of Maharaj Dhritarashtra, assisted by Uncle Vidura. That's a prelude to the following chapters. So now we turn to the arrangements surrounding the exit of the Pandavas. Chapter 14 of this first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, reads like the daily news. Now, but 5,000 years ago, it related to the final torments of Krishna's dearmost servitors, the Pandavas. So, my wife's prepared something for this section, and then we will hear from Krishna Kanta Prabhu.
When Maharaj Yudhishthira, observing the auspicious signs on the earth, was singing to himself, Arjuna arrived. And by seeing his distressful condition, Maharaj started to ask the questions. Actually, this chapter 14 is full of questions. Vasubhadra Maharaj, he condensed them in 3 parts. And part one, first, he inquired about the welfare of his friends and relatives. And after, about welfare of Yadu dynasty. And Lord family is consisting of many members. It's a very big family. And King Yudhishthir, in his inquiries, he mentioned only the chief names of members, because he was not, that family was so big, he was not even able to remember each name of each person. And this was also a very interesting point Srila Prabhupada mentioned in purport 34, that Maharaj inquired about welfare of his relatives, friends, Yadu dynasty, but he didn't inquire directly about welfare of Lord Krishna, because the Lord is all perfect in himself. He refrained to make such an inquiry. And he just asked if Krishna enjoys in Dvaraka Puri, in association with his devotees, because generally Lord, he is surrounded by his pure devotees,
his
associates. By asking these questions, Maharaj Yudhishthir was hoping hoping to find that Krishna is still present. By trying to find his associates, he wanted to find if Krishna is still performing his pastimes. And he was hoping that everything is okay, but simultaneously he knew that is not okay. And part two of question 20 of Srimad Bhagavatam is that receiving no answer from Arjuna, Maharaj, by seeing his loss of luster, he started to inquire about his welfare, about his kshatriya duties. And I will read from the text. Could this due to your having been neglected and disrespected by others for having stayed so long at Dvaraka? Has someone addressed you harshly or threatened you? Did you fail to keep a promise, or were you unable to give in charity to a deserving person? Could you not give protection to brahmanas, children, cows, women, or diseased persons that had approached you for shelter? And so on. And as Maharaj explained, those questions is like instructions for kshatriya. And similar technique was using Narada Muni, for example, where he met Vyasadev. He appeared before Vyasadev. He asked him, are you satisfied by identifying with the body or the mind as objects of self-realization? And here again, Maharaj Yudhishthir, he is hoping that one of the reasons is not Krishna's departure, but this one of the reasons is those of Arjuna neglection of kshatriya duties, and is like hoping against a hope. And finally, part 3 of question 20 of Srimad Bhagavatam, finally, by again no receiving any question, Yudhishthira expressed this real anxiety in his mind, and he asked his text 44. Or is that you are feeling empty due to having lost your most intimate friend, Lord Krishna? And philosophical significance of question 20 is also divided in 3 parts. And part 1 speaks about when civilization, a person, is in separation from Krishna, result is inauspicious. And sufferings are inflicted upon the separated soul by the Lord's material energy. And Bhagavad Gita principle is simple, as was mentioned several times by Maharaj in the class, that when there is a connection with the Lord, everything is in perfection. But if soul loses this connection with Krishna, result is misery, lamentation, fear, madness, illusion. And in Bhagavad Gita 7.14, Krishna says, Daivya shaguna mayi mama maya, this divine energy of mind, consisting of the 3 modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. But if one surrenders unto me, he can easily cross beyond it. And surrender unto me means one connects with yoga maya. And if someone makes an offense, yoga maya manifests as maha maya. And it's not possible to overcome it by our own endeavors, by our false ego. In material world, we inquire knowledge through our senses, mind, and we try to analyze this by pratyaksha and anuman, direct perception and imagination or speculation. Actually, these attempts are the cause of our distressful condition. Even cultivation of Vedic knowledge, like Maharaj was talking about it, while maintaining pratishta, falls under category of mundane knowledge. And it's very dangerous position. It's very difficult to gain freedom from it. There is possibility also of inauspiciousness also even in the highest planets, Brahmaloka. And even great sages and demigods are placed into illusion by Lord's inconceivable energy. So what we speak about us. And in conclusion, because we have forgotten our intimate relationship with Krishna by trying to become happy, by trying to be enjoyers, as Prabhupada mentioned in this class, bhokta, trying to be bhokta, we have to undergo so much trouble. But if we understood that Krishna is supreme enjoyer, he is supreme well-wisher, supreme benefactor, and Bhagavad Gita 5.29 says, bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram sukhridam sarva bhutanam getvamam shantim richyati, we can attain peace from the pangs of material nature. And regarding Anjura, is different situation. Anjura is Krishna's companion. He is his friend. And his separation is of complete different nature. And Krishna Kanta Prabhu, he explains further. How is that?
I'd just like to posit a question. Thank you for those precious insights. My question is, does the Supreme Personality of Godhead ever leave the hearts of his devotees? So for some pertinent points, we ask Krishna Kanta Prabhu to discuss.
The feeling of separation from a devotee towards the Lord, if the Lord disappears, is an intense feeling actually of attachment to the Lord, and manifests because of relationship. The devotee knows actually that the Lord never disappears. He is in the heart of every living entity, and he is everywhere, and on a philosophical point of view, he knows it. So, that fact that the Lord, first of all, he has a relationship with the living entity, because the living entity are longing for their eternal constitutional position as a part and parcel of the Lord. First, we are looking all for a salvation, where the weather is not hot, where the weather is not too cold, where it's not suffering from mosquitoes or anything else materially. And if we come on a place where is the situation like this, then we are happy. Everybody wants this. No miseries, no anxieties. But at one point there there must be some relationship. If you have a relationship with the object or with a person, and for devotees, the worshipable object, Krishna. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead shows himself to the devotee to that extent which the devotee want to reciprocate with the Lord. So, and he gives him a taste. And this taste is filled with transcendental mellows, with some emotions, with feelings, because the Lord is a person. It's not that the Lord disappears and the devotee who knows Krishna or the Lord is everywhere. And like Arjuna, he has seen the Lord, like directly. He was sitting with him on the same bed. He was eating with him. He had nice conversations with him. He was playing around, sporting around. So he knew that Krishna is the Supreme, but also he knew that Krishna is everywhere, and therefore he was sure that Krishna never leaves him. But on the point when Krishna really leaves, he experienced a intense feeling of separation. And this separation is a basis of attachment to the Lord. And this attachment is showing how even a pure devotee or eternal consort of Krishna, like Arjuna or the Pandavas, even they had feelings. They didn't say after Krishna leaves, okay, our job is finished, we are eternal consorts of the Lord, so we just follow him. But they expressed feelings, and we can see that even on that platform there is a reciprocation with the Lord. And the Lord, in that, for devotee who want to reciprocate with the Lord, he captivates the devotee by this feeling of separation, that his intensity of feeling emotions and devotion increases. So like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that even if I can see you not in one minute, I cannot see you one moment, then I feel that's a millennium for me. Yeah, so he's suffering, but this is on a platform like that's for pure devotees. So it shows that there is a interaction with a person. It's not a thing. So it's not a computer. We give something inside and we expect something out. So we give something inside in this relationship, and Krishna reciprocates accordingly. And accordingly means like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said in Shikshastika also, that everything what you desire is also good for me. If you embrace me heartily or you be absent of me, I cannot see you, then you are always my worshipable Lord. You will be always. And this shows that reciprocation with the Lord from a devotee is without consideration of personally happiness and distress on a platform of pure devotion. And this expressed Arjuna by his appearance. So Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead so captivates even the will of the devotees. So the devotee has even no free will, because in that form he captivates the will that he wants to serve the Lord. He only has one desire, to satisfy the Lord. So that is even on the platform of the Pandavas, we see that there have the personal relationship with the Lord and have the reciprocation with the Lord, which shows us that the Lord is a person.
Rang Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan Ki. Kishikshastakam Vijay. It appears that relationships with our beloved Lord have a bittersweet taste. How to relish those mellows? Let's hear how Arjuna dealt with his dilemma. Mother Nrisimha Lakshmi has prepared something on this topic.
So Arjuna comes back from Dwaraka, and Maharaj Yudhishthira asks him the question, what happened in Dwaraka? By not getting any reply, and by seeing Arjuna so dejected, so disappointed, King Yudhishthira comes into conclusion that only what could happen, Lord Krishna left this planet. So that my analyzed 26 verses of this chapter covers some points of an answer. That is this true? Is Lord Krishna left this world? So number one, the intensity of the situation. Second would be number two, Arjuna gives examples of the loving reciprocation between himself and the Lord. And number three, the Lord gives and takes away in the course of his pastimes. So regarding first part, Arjuna grief-stricken and overwhelmed, his mind fixed on the Lord, reveals to Maharaja Yudhishthira that his friend is lost to him. Even assuming the Lord would be in the would disappear from the planet for a moment, how difficult it would be, like everything would lose its meaning. So we can just imagine how much difficult situation would be, which is more than a moment. Therefore, Arjuna's remembrance of it brings out the intensity of the situation. Also, it is being remembered only because the Lord is involved in situation. So, number two, regarding Arjuna gives examples of the loving reciprocation between himself and the Lord. Arjuna recalls his association with the Lord. He had relationship. He realizes it. Krishna's reciprocation is complete. Arjuna is treated as an intimate friend. Previously, he was empowered, but then everything was taken away. Power is missed. Then by remembering the Lord, his abilities, his intimate relationship, he understood that their relationship is eternal, and he becomes enlivened and realizes that he is still connected, still have relationship, and this relationship is real. Krishna empowered Arjuna till the topmost level. Arjuna already had the most the most qualified warrior. He's the best archer. An example is when by his arrow he could pierce the fish target and thereby gain the hand of Draupadi. He admits that he was able to do it only by Krishna's merciful strength. Krishna also gave him some special facilities. Only by Krishna's grace was built a wonderful assembly house for the Pandavas. Because Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, Krishna did not did a lot of things himself. He was personally a chariot man for Arjuna, chariot driver. And the last point that the Lord gives and takes away, there is a saying, you never know how much you got until it is gone. So Krishna gives and takes away for our own benefit, for us to be able to appreciate what we had. He gives relationship, and he
and we feel protected. Krishna is here. But then living entity falls into some misery, as with Draupadi happened. She was given five husbands, and she was thinking her desires were being fulfilled. And then everything is taken away. The assembly of kings tried to strip Draupadi, but she calls out Krishna, and again she is protected. Thus, it is all happening just to give a flavor for the relationship. It is increase our mellow, increase attachment to the Lord. Relationship is not static, and the Lord's abode, paraphernalia, are also variegated. Relationship means to spice it up. The Lord plays with us. A storyline as a kind of recipe has a similar path, keeps repeating again and again with the small changes. Thus, as we saw, Maharaj Yudhishthira was also left by Krishna, but only due to the different relationship, so-called some different spices, gave different result, different flavor. So to give and take, it is Krishna's game with his devotees. It is a test for all of them. The more intimate relationship, the more intense the feelings, the emotions, the attachments. And an example with Kaliya, with just before him starting to kick his head, first few hours he, Krishna let himself to be wrapped by serpent. And thus Mother Yashoda, Gopis and others had a huge experience. But that was only to increase the mellow attachment, dependence on him, on Krishna. So everything is happening by Krishna's will. He is the supreme master of the situation, who empowers, protects, gives, or withdraws all these powers and takes away according to his own mission. So in order to go with his mission, we just should take and follow his instructions, left for our own benefit. And Arjuna is an example of it. We must always be guided by the pleasure of the Lord.
You understand that Arjuna, he remembers, he discusses these things, the relationship. And slowly he regains his composure. It's like a repeat performance of his enlightenment on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He was fell into bewilderment, and then Krishna helped him to relieve those forgotten, to get reconnected again. So here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we get to the essence of the essence. It's stated, chapter 15, text 27, "Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead Govinda." In the translation, it's described the supreme personality of pleasure, Govinda. "Because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space." It indicates that the Bhagavad Gita is not just for helping us to maintain a state of mental peace. These words, hrit, tapa, upasamani, helping to relieve that burning feeling within the heart. And the pastimes that we see bring the devotees to that point the feeling intense separation, the burning feeling within the heart, embarrassed, loss of power, suffering. So the Bhagavad Gita is glorified here by this verse and by Prabhupada's purport. Bhagavad Gita speaks on five main points: Ishvara, Jiva, Kala, space, and karma. Very profound topics to put us in the proper mentality, to put us back in our proper perspective. We understand that we're non-different from the Lord. We're not the body, we're spirit souls. We share the same qualities as the Lord, but in minute quantity. Karma can be changed. And we should adjust our activities for the pleasure of the Lord. When we understand this, it's an indication that our knowledge, our intelligence has become purified. And we are then reconnected. Arjuna, he remembers these instructions. He engages in devotional service again. He becomes free from any contamination, which was displayed, not necessarily a fact, just like on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He appeared to be bewildered. He always remembered. So he's free from the contamination. And then he starts to relate those instructions again. Yudhisthira Maharaj hears, Queen Kunti, she overhears. And they make a determination to follow the Lord. I'd just like to make a little point on the churning of the feelings in order to bring one to the point of making a determination. The separation, the mood of separation, it appears to be the greatest distress. There's that example Prabhupada gives, that when the husband is away from home, then the wife is always thinking where the husband is. It's just like a compass. They're connected. Even though she's away, they're still connected, forced to be thinking of it. So by having the relationship and then experiencing separation, in the mood of separation, thinking of the beloved, then there's a taste of satisfaction. It's like the gopis when Krishna left Vrindavan, they just went about their activities of making garlands and playing games and reliving the pastimes. And in that way, Krishna, he was there. He never actually left Vrindavan. So this Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, is full of these instructions to help to rectify our mentality, to get us back into the right state of mind. In the last 3 or 4 days, we as a group have undergone some visible transformations in our consciousness. We were frightened to delve deeply into these subjects. It was painful because it's the reality. Often it's said that reading, studying, it's the greatest austerity. Why? Because when you study these topics, you're faced with the truth. And then you have to respond to it. You have to react. So we have the example of the Pandavas. We have the example of the great devotees of the Lord. We follow their example. Devotees, they get together. They discuss. These discussions, they uplift and they help to guide us, to liberate us from misconceptions. And then the best association is obviously in the association of pure devotees. Our thought processes, Prabhupada says, should be developed in the association of advanced thinkers. This reminds me of a song that Sri Prahlad wrote. Hallowed be thy name, all one and the same. Become happy when we're pure. Associate with drinkers, become a drinker. Associate with thinkers, become a thinker. Like that. This is a famous song from the Polish tour. So by allowing us to discuss together, then we've definitely entered more deeply into the subject and had a lot of realizations. So now we request for some cream on the cake to hear about how to follow the examples of the great Pandavas. So Sharon Mataji, can you discuss something on this essential topic?
I've been given Arjun's Essence, part 6 and 7, to say something on. Forgive me, I'm going to read from here. In text 41 translation, it says, "Then he amalgamated all the sense organs into the mind, then the mind into life, life into breathing, his total existence into the embodiment of the five elements, and his body into death. Then as pure self, he became free from the material conception of life. Maha Yudhisthira began to concentrate and gradually become freed from all material bondage. There was no longer a need for material activities. But actually, the activities of the mind cannot be stopped, for they are a reflection of the eternal soul, and the quality of the activities can be changed from matter to the transcendental service of the Lord. All is manifest by the temporary embodiment of the material body, which is a production of the mind at the time of death. And if the mind is purified by practice of transcendental loving service to the Lord and is constantly engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, then there is no chance of the mind's producing another material body after death. It will be freed from absorption in material contamination. The pure soul will be able to return back home, back to Godhead. Anything material we have is only by the Lord's blessing, and unless we connect it to the Lord, it is useless. And everyone is worshipping the Lord anyway, consciously or unconsciously, even the impersonalist who worships the Brahman, as everything is Krishna. So it is better to recognize and to serve the Lord as a devotee, as it is ultimately the Lord's pleasure we are trying to seek. And when we remember the Lord, our taste of transcendence is increased and our material anxieties are removed. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord and the living beings are both described as Sanatan, or eternal. And the Lord's abode is also described as Sanatan. The process which can help the living being approach the Lord's abode is called Sanatan Dharma. Srila Prabhupada states that one cannot, however, reach the eternal abode of the Lord without being free from the misconception of material identification, the concept of I and my. So by knowledge and by dovetailing our activities in the service of the Lord, we can become free. Srila Prabhupada states that everyone must arrange their lives so that the last 15 to 20 years prior to death can be devoted to the devotional service of the Lord. For as long as the mind remains absorbed in fruitive work for material enjoyment, there's no chance of getting free from material bondage. Srila Prabhupada calls it the suicidal policy to neglect the supreme task to attain the highest goal. In text 40, it says that to become purified of material contamination is the necessary qualification for becoming one of the associates of the Lord. No one can become an associate of the Lord or can go back to Godhead without such purification. Srila Prabhupada writes in the text 45 purport, the retired men can become bewildered about how to engage themselves for their last days of their lives. So it is recommended to follow in the footsteps of the forefathers and the great devotees of the Lord. We similarly from birth are bewildered, and due to our contamination by the modes of nature do not know what is best for us. So we must take shelter of the pure devotee of the Lord and follow his instructions with intelligent faith. So training is necessary. If not, we may not remember Krishna at the time of death. So it's better to train our minds and senses now than to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, trying to always remember Krishna and never forget him. Srila Sanatan Goswami writes in his Hari Bhakta Vilas that a person, whatever he may be, can attain the perfection of a twice-born Brahmana by undergoing the spiritual disciplinary actions under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Exactly as a chemist can turn gunmetal into gold by chemical manipulation. It is the guidance that matters. Bhagavad Gita 14.26 affirms this statement. And the Lord says that anyone who executes devotional service systematically without deviation can attain the protection of Brahman by surface. The Lord says that anyone who executes devotional service systematically without deviation can attain the protection of Brahman by surpassing the contamination of the three modes of material nature. And when the Brahman perfection is still more advanced by the selfsame execution of devotional service, there is no doubt at all that one can attain the supreme spiritual planet Goloka Vrindavan. This is called Jiva Mukta stage, or liberated stage, even in the material world. The process of ending material existence, one must not only think that he is Brahman, but must act like Brahman. One who only thinks himself Brahman is an impersonalist. One who acts is a pure devotee. This age of Kali still runs for 427,000 years, and its symptoms, namely avarice, falsehood, diplomacy, cheating, nepotism, violence, are already in vogue. No one can imagine what is going to happen gradually with further increase of the influence of Kali until the day of annihilation. But those who are under the protection of the Lord have nothing to fear. The process is given by our previous acharyas, and it's chanting the holy names of the Lord. And I just want to read one verse that I was sent recently from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anshulila 199. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. When we then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, dear Vaishnavas. Thank you for lending us your ears, allowing us to discuss the Srimad Bhagavatam, the topics of the Absolute Truth, for our purification. Hare Krishna. Comments? I'm curious about, because you touched on this, but it seems to be in the Bhagavatam much more stressed. Arjuna's sense of disempowerment was more than just the feeling of separation, you know, that Krishna's not present, but he felt himself totally unable to live up to that person that he had been. So what I'm trying to get at is that there's Krishna and there's Arjuna. So Krishna had departed, seeming to leave Arjuna no longer Arjuna. Arjuna felt that he couldn't do any of the great things that he had done by Krishna's grace during their lila together. And then Prabhupada, in a purport in this section, purport to verse 27, where he's glorifying the Bhagavad Gita, he also refers back to that very similar situation on the Kurukshetra field, where the first time, Arjuna felt completely disempowered. He was expected in that situation to manifest his qualities as the greatest bowman, as the most powerful warrior, and he felt himself totally unable to do that. So, and yet it is said, by simply remembering again Krishna's instructions,
that he found himself restored. So I just was hoping that you might be able to fill this out a little bit more.
Do you have something on that? It was one aspect of being empowered that they realized that it was borrowed plumes, and that when Krishna no longer needed them to act in such a capacity, then those extraordinary powers were removed. That's on a high level. But we could also understand that for the benefit of ourselves or the listeners, that Arjuna, they say the bigger you are, the harder you can fall. So he was able to cope with having his whole persona pulled out from underneath him. So he was, as Maharaj said, the response of the devotee, they become bewildered, but they don't forget the Lord. Whereas the demon, if he became so bewildered, he would rant and rave against the Lord. So that the disempowerment was to put him into a situation where he could exhibit these symptoms of dependence and then again get the support from Krishna. That's one aspect of it.
Yeah. I think that's a very good, very good answer. I was just, you know, anyway, this may not be the forum to lead into things that require, I think, a lot more thought and introspection in this situation would allow, because we're also on the spotlight right now. But I think it's very both important and also very, in a transcendental sense, intriguing, the depth of the relationship between an eternal associate of the Lord, which ultimately we all are. I think that's what I'm trying to get at, that we're all eternally connected with Krishna. And Prabhupada does trace a relationship. Prabhupada does say that Krishna put Arjuna into Maya at Kurukshetra so that Krishna could speak to for all of our benefit, not just for Arjuna's benefit. So there's definite relationship there between the present situation of the jiva, who is spiritually disempowered. Of course, not for in any way, we can't compare the reasons for that to Arjuna's reasons for Arjuna's disempowerment, but the basic situation is there's a similarity. And how Arjuna, being Arjuna, As you were saying, a devotee may become bewildered, but he remembers the Lord. So Arjuna, being Arjuna, took shelter of those instructions that Krishna imparted to him and found himself Arjuna again. So, anyway.
Lamentation, you become forgetful of your relationship with the Lord. Similarly, I noticed in my relationship with Sri Ramaj, when you go into lamentation, you lose the spiritual relationship can be forgotten, and then it's only when you take shelter of instructions and have remembrance things then become more transcendental. So with Arjuna, so he went into forgetfulness of his position, and through the instructions he remembered his position, and then all the material leela was just leela for the soul.
Actually, in if you see, if you look at the progression of mentality, or the degression of mentality, consciousness in Kali Yuga, there's century by century, age by age, within this age, there's more of a stress on individuality, our separateness. Individuality in the sense of separateness, you know, that each one of us is so special, so unique, so different from everyone else. This is the trend of thought, of philosophy. It's called alienation. And so this seems to be progressively increasing all the time, that people are becoming more alienated, of course, first of all from God himself, but then from one another, from the natural world, but ultimately from themselves too. And all that's left is a kind of a void where there should be a person. And in that state, one can be overcome by, yes, lamentation, but that lamentation is just based on ignorance of what one really is, what one's relationship to the Lord is, and other living entities, and nature. Everything is just lost in the darkness of ignorance. So I think because we have a weakness in Kali Yuga, we have a there's a propensity for that, to become so much, in a negative way, enamored with ourself. You know what I mean, in a negative way. Just, we're thinking that our own, you know, sense of loss is so unique, nobody else can ever understand it. There's no one we can turn to, no one can understand. You know, I'm so alone, I'm so bereft, like this. So we see Arjuna, he remembered Krishna's instructions that Krishna gave when Arjuna was overcome at Kurukshetra by those very same feelings of, you can say, exaggerated loss. This exaggerated sense of one's individuality is meaning something that, you know, just separates you from everything else. The Lord shelter everything from any sense of meaning, any sense of purpose. So Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita, they reconnect the living entity with the Lord, and also with the living entity's actual identity and purpose, which apart from the Lord, then have no meaning. I don't know, I'm just kind of rambling on here, but I think that's what I got from what you were saying. That our sense of loss can become so exaggerated due to this, it's a disease sense. It's individuality, and we are individualities, but Maya turns that into a diseased condition. Because the individual has been under, say, there's a phase of Maya that builds us up into thinking that we're God, you know, that we are the one. We are the number one. And then that reaches a peak, and then everything's pulled out from underneath us, and then we start to think, instead of we are the one, we are the all, that we are nothing, we are nobody. So, yeah, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. And the Nirvishesha phase, one is thinking, I am the Lord. I am the one absolute truth. And then Shunyavadi, one is thinking, I'm nothing at all. So, Krishna consciousness cuts through both of these kind of illusions in one stroke by reconnecting the living entity to his actual purpose in service to the Lord. Anyway, it's very, I don't know.
It's also the things of taking this, a very interesting point they made in the similarity between the situations of the Gita and in the Bhagavatam. And that then, and what you're saying then comes out of the element of the separation. That what was a disturbance for Arjuna in the Gita was separation from the family, you know, and all that goes with that. So then here is separation from Krishna. So when he was, the idea of being separated from the family that was important for him, and that was his whole goal and reason for, you know, existence, he was unable also at that time to hold on to the Gandiva bow or to perform any activity. And so then but by hearing Krishna's instructions, he was able to be resituated by understanding everything in its proper relationship. Because if relationship is not there, there can be no goal. If there's no goal, there can be no activity. So he was unable to function because the relationships were removed. So therefore there's no goal, and there's no direction, so he could not function. So then, in this situation, you could also see as by the Lord being gone, then that relationship not being there, then all one's goals would be gone. And so therefore, he could not act. So even though it's the same Arjuna, the same Gandiva bow, it was the same Arjuna, the same Gandiva bow at Kurukshetra. You know, but there it was manifest in the mundane sense. But in the Bhagavatam, it's manifest in the transcendental sense. So then, even though his relationship with Krishna was not lost, but how was that manifesting, or what was his purpose in the material world if Krishna wasn't there? You know what I mean? He is, you know, has his relationship with Krishna, but that has to be manifest and acted upon, but it didn't make any sense in the material sphere anymore without Krishna being there. So then he was unable to therefore function. He couldn't use his bow, he couldn't do anything, he could, you know. Though, you know, we know that the Lord's hand's in it, but still we see a similarity there. But then by remembering the instructions of Gita, and as you're pointing out, then he again established, you know, who he is and what he's supposed to be doing for Krishna in the material world, then he was able to function as the self again. So the element of separation means, how you say, has the tendency is that it means if in its pure state the relationship remains, but your relationship with everything that was connected to that relationship that's left behind has no meaning. You know, it's just like you have a house because there's a family. So if the family is gone, you know, it's like when the family grows up and all the kids grow up and get married and move away, you know, like that, then kind of like the house has no meaning for the mother anymore. So to clean it, to keep a nice stock in the pantry, to cook, to do all the things that she would do because it was all meant for the family, now has no meaning. But she has relationship with the members of the family. And because it's in separation, then the actual practical day-to-day of the field of interaction doesn't mean anything anymore. So therefore, one becomes bewildered. What you should do, this, that. Though the relationship's not lost, but the relationship with the field through which that relationship was expressed one becomes bewildered. Is that? Mm. So that just only by this, by, you know, Shanti Prananda Prabhu's point and then your comments, then that kind of made that kind of like, you know, that similarity.
Other question. By remembering the instructions of Krishna and the Bhagavad Gita, regains his composure. Does this mean he now again regains his capacity as a Maharati?
That's what I'm
kind of getting from what you're saying. I think he regains his composure of what he is and what he's supposed to be doing.
I think in regaining his ability as a Maharati is not actually important for the situation.
I think there's an answer to that. I think, and it seemed, look back to the situation of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, of course, in a total other sense, had also become helpless. Just a kind of a pet of the household. And we saw it yesterday, brought out so nicely in the play, Vidura cutting Dhritarashtra to the quick and reminding him that, you know, you're actually a great Kshatriya, a person of great nobility, great ability, great power, but all of that's going to waste because you're just laying around this household like a pet dog. And Prabhupada, it's pointed out by in the Bhagavatam, clearly by Prabhupada in the purport, that then feeling that you know, penetrating criticism of Vidura, then Dhritarashtra mustered his Kshatriya power again, but for a total other purpose. And that was for leaving home and doing those austerities he did and achieving liberation. And when you read about the Pandavas, they're leaving. I think the same thing is in play.
It's not that they're not his powers at work. It's still the power of being used to attach and know what his purpose is.
Yeah, but that...
He's regained his composure and his understanding.
Yes, but I...
because that's not the, it's not actually, it's not relevant whether it works or not. That's not really, because the thing is the field has changed. And so he has to adjust to the new field.
Well, so, I'm just getting the understanding that now he's got his powers back in the sense of, because he was lamenting he lost his ability as a warrior.
The point that was being made was the field. That's why we gave maybe we should have taken the example farther. So then the mother, after the family leaves the home, and so the home having been a field for expressing those relationships with the family now becomes, let's say, a field for congregational preaching. Does this make sense? So the relationship with the family remains, but now, because the field has changed, you have to adjust and see everything within that, who you are, what is this new field, what's your relationships, and then from there, you can reestablish.
He regained his composure, and not necessarily that he was going to be acting as a Maharati.
Yeah, but I never used the word Maharati. That's actually a fair way to push the definition, saying, therefore, you corrected me and taken it. We were talking here purely about the feeling of relationship and having lost the field and having regained the composure. Like you're saying, the action is different. Arjuna went on the battlefield to destroy his enemies. So And he was very enthusiastic, Bhima and all. They've been talking, waiting for this day for 14 years, right? So finally the day comes. He's enthusiastic, but then when he actually realizes it's not just going to be a nice surgical operation, that they're just going to go in, kill Duryodhana and his 100 brothers and Karna and Shakuni and Haribol and everybody else is going to be left in place, if you lose everything, then the whole, that whole relationship with that field changes, because that family, by removing them, the whole family scene is gone. His whole existence as it was before doesn't really have any meaning. But then after the instructions of Krishna, then he's still fighting, he's still working in that, that same seemingly field, but because everything is now, the values and standards have changed, because now it's being done to please Krishna and as a duty, as a kshatriya, as opposed to just an individual who feels, vengeance against, you know, something that's been done for him. So, means the point that you're bringing out, I think, is very valid, in that it must be seen as that what's happening is that one is moving on from the previous situation and moving into the new situation like that. So maybe it didn't come out because we were expressing more just the feeling of it. You know? But but that would be the practical application. It means what we were mentioning there didn't take it to the practical platform. And so your comments have brought it to there. But, yeah.
Very interesting. Very nice presentation. Very thought-provoking. Very touching. That was one of the very best we've had so far. Thank you very much. So we'll, unfortunately it's after 9 o'clock, so we'll resume this class on Monday, and we will be beginning chapter, examination of chapter 16, which is how Parikshit received the age of Kali. So please come. You're at 8 o'clock. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.